Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. And welcome to the next episode of Lost in South Korea. I am your host, Joshua, and we will be discussing today the types of housing that are in Korea. So previously, as I said, we would go for a walk. Unfortunately, I did go for a walk, and the wind was blowing like crazy. So all you could hear is myself, a lot of traffic, and a lot of wind. And to put that on here would not have sounded good. But let us continue. So in South Korea, there are different types of housing. In America, you either own a house or you're renting an apartment, or you may have a timeshare, a condo, or maybe you're visiting an Airbnb. There are multiple different types. So first, let's talk about the rental system. There are three types of rental that you can pay. The first type is if you have a lot of money later on. You can actually make a full deposit on an apartment for a 2-year contract. And that money that you have deposited, you'd be able to get back. And they call that a jeonsa. Usually the key money is about 50%. All the way up to the whole market value. And then when you move out at the end of the 2 years, you get your money back. My wife and I have been fortunate to be able to do that. So it's very useful if you have the money to do it. The second type of rent is the wholesale system. This is a system where you deposit 2 months in advance and then you pay a monthly rental, like in America. In America, we have your first month and last month's rent, and then you pay the monthly rent. Here you pay the 2 months rent up front, and then your monthly rental. This money you do not keep. You don't get it back. But for the price on some of these places, it's probably better just to rent it. And then the third one is the half Johnson. The system is where you deposit a larger amount. And then you pay a reduced monthly fee each month. So instead of paying $600 a month, you pay $300 a month. And this is usually also a good way to rent an apartment. Now as for the housing, the actual houses in Korea. One thing you'll have to understand is South Korea is a small country. Being from Minnesota, South Korea is about half the size of Minnesota. If you combine North Korea and South Korea together, they should be able to fit inside Minnesota. So, being that South Korea is a small country, the country housing type is more of a vertical living situation. Whereas in Minnesota, we can buy a house and get 4 acres with it. In Korea, you buy an apartment. An apartment and you're 20 floors up, 30 floors up. So let's talk about the different type of housing that's available in South Korea. Much like America and other countries, they have houses, just your standard house. These are called jutak. My wife and I are renting a jutak. The one that we're living in is a duplex. So the housing type will either be a single family style house or a duplex where you split down the middle, or level one, level two. Blackbird and saddle chains calls on you to cry. The next type of housing, you decided it was time, are apartments. And these apartments are usually between 30 and 32 pyeong, or about 105 square meters in size. Most of the time, the size that they discuss in Korea is in pyeong. A pyeong is about 3.4 square meters. So you're looking at about 105 square meter apartments. And that's if you find a nice apartment. Usually apartments cost about 100 million won or 100,000 US dollars. And then you pay 10,000 per month for paying the rent. If you happen to be living in Seoul, you can see up to $1 million for an apartment. If you decide to move to one of the other cities, it won't be $1 million. You can see them for about 100,000, 200,000. If you want to build a house, a jutak, that's a different story. But I'll discuss that later. The next type of housing is the offices. It's a smaller version of an apartment. These can range between $500 to $1,000 or more, with about a $5,000 deposit. Offices usually about 10 stories in height and are more near the subway systems or the shopping areas. The next type of housing that we have are villas. What do you think about when you hear the word villa? You think of maybe a multi-story apartment where you have a patio on top and you can spend your time relaxing up there, grilling. But in Korea, the villas are a bit different. It's more of the condo style house. It's definitely smaller than apartments. And unlike the apartments or the office hotels, the villas are usually older. The floor plans and on a villa is usually a living room and a small kitchen with a small sink and a burner. It may have built-in storage, but there's no paid maintenance or security in the villas. The villas costs start around $2,000 and they go up from there. Another type is the one rooms. The one rooms in Korea are basically a studio apartment. It's just one room. The sizes will vary depending on where you're at. But you can be looking at 20 square feet, 30 square feet, maybe 100 square feet. And then you have the Goshiwans. Goshiwans are possibly the smallest accommodation you can rent. Goshiwans are one room. They have no windows. It is literally one room the size of a closet, a walk-in closet, with just enough space to put a bed and a desk. Usually you'll find university students living in these, or maybe other traveling foreigners that are renting it for a month. And then you get a shared bathroom, shared kitchens. And the Goshiwan rental costs usually about $100 to $500. But it is very, very small. So if you're not looking to stay long term, a Goshiwan would be easiest. If you don't bring much. If you're going to come here and become a university student, you'll of course have the dormitories. Two students, you get a, usually you'll have a bunk bed style layout for the beds. But instead of the beds being on top and bottom, it'll be the bed on top, and then underneath you will be your desk. And then throughout Korea, you can find homestays. Homestays are great if you're looking for just something cheap, practical, a place to eat and sleep. And you don't mind living with a family while you're staying there, because it'll be someone's extra room that they're renting out. They also have guest houses. So if you're looking to travel around and spend a couple days in a city or over by the ocean. You can rent these. These are usually outside the cities. Great way if you're trying to make some friends. And they're convenient. Prices on these vary. As long as you're not planning to stay long term, it's a pretty good way to go. And then of course they have the Airbnbs now. So as we are discussing the measurement unit, South Korea uses pyeong. 1 square pyeong is 36 square Korean feet. Now my wife is Korean and I usually joke about this. And I have to ask her to remind me that Korean feet are smaller than American feet. Because I wear a size 13 and she wears a size 6. Then you're looking at the key deposit. The key deposit is the large sum of money that you're depositing for your lease, to where you're moving into. You'll need to start a contract with the housing, usually with the landlord or the real estate agent that's handling the property. Most apartments are being handled through realtors, so when you come here, you'll want to find a realtor. And then when you meet with the realtor, they are required by law to have proof of certification. And then you'll know that this is a real deal. As long as they have their proof of certification that they have been certified by the country, that they can be a landlord, then you're good to go. And then of course there's the management fee, which is usually separate from the monthly rent. So if you rent an apartment, there may be a maintenance fee of maybe $20 or $30 or even $10. And usually the maintenance fee helps cover if they do cleaning in the hallways. They go through and check everything for bugs and extermination if there's needed. Or just general property care for the maintenance of the building. Now in the beginning we talked about the houses, and the houses are expensive. The property is expensive compared to America. So for example, I own some property in Minnesota. I sold 10 acres for $120,000, but when you come here and you want to buy property, you're looking at 70 pyeong. So we're looking at 70 pyeong, and what did I say? 1 pyeong is how much? Pyeong is 3.4 square meters, right? So 1 pyeong, you're looking at 238 square meters. 3.4. But houses or jutex here, if you want to buy a property, the average property size will be about 70 pyeong, or 238 square meters. most of the time you'll find the property at that size, 238 square meters, 70 pyong. You're looking at about $250,000 just for the property. And then most of the time when you purchase the property, you'll then be required within 1 year to build at least 60% of the house on the property. Now when you build the house size itself cannot be larger than the total square meters of the property. So for example, 70 pyong, you're looking at 238 square meters. The house cannot be larger than 238 square meters. And I believe it cannot go over three stories. I think you can have two full stories and a half story on the third floor. But there are, of course, ways around things. Basements are not common in Korea because there's not really any major flooding here. And there's no tornadoes because we're surrounded by mountains. So when you come to Korea, if you get a job teaching English or you're working in other businesses, some of the larger businesses will put you in an office tell. If you're working as an English teacher, you'll be put into an apartment. But the apartments will be more like a one room for the studio apartment. And it will be small. Maybe a little bit larger than the Goshi one, but not much bigger. And sometimes the schools that you work with will take the fee out of your salary. So when you come in to work here, you want to negotiate everything. You want to make sure that, are you being put into an office tell? Are you being put into a Goshiwon? Are you being put into a one room? All of these things matter. So it is important to research everything that you do. And that'll be the end for today's topic on housing in Korea. As for the walk that I did yesterday, I tried to record it. Although it was windy and I could not get a clear voice into the microphone while I was walking, I can describe how the day went. The area that I live in is full of jutaks, or houses. In our neighborhood, there's approximately 20 houses. And I walked around, and there's a small park in the middle of our area, and there are about a half a dozen kids playing in that area, having fun, running around. They don't know what COVID is, right? They just know that they have to wear their mask and they can go play. All the mothers are hanging out on the end, sitting on the benches, relaxing, talking with each other, having a little picnic. Across the street, there's a fire department. I am very lucky because that fire department is rarely called. Everyone around here is pretty careful about everything they do. they were out washing their trucks, practicing just in case they actually had to do something. And then across the street from the fire department is another larger park. And this park had more kids running around wearing their masks. More moms out there relaxing, talking with their friends, enjoying the warm day. Honestly, and I was being annoyed by the wind. Something in your smile that that's what I was going to cover for you in the original episode for this episode 3, but it didn't turn out that way. Swimming pool is closed and I'm in. So I would like to thank you all for listening. I know I'm not sober. If you have any questions, you can email me. You can send them to questions@lostinsouthkorea.com. Feel free to visit my website, lostinsouthkorea.com. I haven't posted anything new from the first two episodes yet, but I will be starting that shortly as well. And if you're on Facebook, maybe if you search, you'll be able to find me, and I won't be as lost. So you're on Facebook and search Lost in South Korea Podcast, and you should be able to find me there. Be sure to like, follow me. We are now on 5 different channels, different websites. You can listen to us on anchor.fm. You can listen to us on breaker.audio. You can search us on Google Podcasts. And you can find us on radiopublic.com. I want to thank you, and as always, have a great night.